Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Nitzavim, the last opportunity to learn Torah together in this particular series for the year 5781. And of course, we begin with a certain comment on Parshas Nitzavim from Rav Pamzatzal, who noted that it's interesting that in a year like this one, it is certainly possible to have read two very large Parshios, Matos and Maaseh, together, which total 244 Psukim, and then come around and separate Nitzavim and Vayelech, which only have 70 in total. So why don't we just combine Nitzavim and Vayelech and separate Matos and Maaseh? Rapam cited the halacha that one needs to read the Tochacha before the year is over, but in order not to end the year on a bad note, we add a parsha as a buffer. And Rapam added that if we put in a buffer for us not to stop a year, to start a year on a bad note, shouldn't we remind educators not to do the same for their students and allow a buffer for their growth as well? It would be very good for us to consider that as well. Anyway, we get into the parasha, and then Moshe Rabbeinu turns, and he tells Bnei Yisrael, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, you're all standing here, Li'avrecha Bivris, to enter a covenant. Now, why do we need a second bris? We already encountered one with Hashem. So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita noted that the bris mentioned in Nitzavim includes those who are Eis Asher Einenu Po, those who aren't here, those who weren't around Har Sinai, and that group was not a part of the bris at Har Sinai. This group was. So why is this bris different? Rav Shechter quoted Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, explained that Hashem wanted to make the second bris in Eretz Yisrael where the concept of arvus, of guarantorship, would apply. However, Moshe wasn't able to enter Eretz Yisrael, and he would lose out as a result. And so as such, Moshe started the bris here. And then the one made at Har Gerizim and Har Eva was a continuation of this second bris. In other words, Hashem wanted to make the bris only in Eretz Yisrael, since it's the land that connects us to the bris. But at the same time, Hashem wanted Moshe to be involved in the bris, and that's why he had Moshe start off this bris of Me'ever LeYarden. And we're told, Vatiru Eshukutzehem, we're told you've seen their detestable things. Now, if Bnei Yisrael had already seen how detestable Avodah Zarah is, why does Moshe need to go into such a discourse about it? And so Rabbi Twersky, Zecher Tzadok Levracha, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, explained that we find that when we use scare tactics in order to discourage people from engaging in certain forbidden pleasures, the audience tends to be more stimulated to try that illicit pleasure, and the stimulation for immediate pleasure may exceed the deterrent effect. And so Moshe understood this, but in order to turn off the desire for dangerous pleasure, Moshe needed something beyond scare tactics. He had to encourage them and understand that. We're told later in the parasha, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, that we should return to Hashem, and Chazal throughout history have viewed tshuva as this tremendous gift. Rav Shmuelka of Nikolberg noted, I wonder what kind of existence would there be in Shamayim if one could not perform tshuva. It would probably be pretty small. But yet still, we do not seem to try to do it. And why is that? So Rabbi Chilmeir of Gustien explained that people have a hard time believing that tshuva can wipe a slate clean. He noted that that's a mistake. Tshuva is not like chess. When you play chess, you can't retract a wrong move. But in tshuva, one can undo every wrong. It just takes a certain degree of sincerity in the process. And that's why we're told, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, for this mitzvah. And Rashi notes that the mitzvah referenced here is that of Torah, while the Ramban explains that no, ki ha-mitzvah hazos refers to tshuva. Either way, Rav Obi Zatzal explained that despite the distance between Hashem and His creation, we have the ability to bridge the gap through Torah and mitzvos, which are close to us. Ki karov eilecha davar ma'od. And so he added that true Torah connection comes with the awareness that Torah is infused within each of us, like it was for David HaMelech, who discovered in the bathhouse that he was still connected with the mitzvah of Bris Milah. His intention and fear, explains Rav Olba, was that his connection to Hashem and his mitzvos was merely external. But what he discovered was they were in his very fiber and makeup. And therefore, that brings us to a concept that appears throughout our parsha quite a bit. We find the concept of Hayom today. Why is there a tremendous stress on the word Hayom in this week's Torah reading? When is Hayom? Is it a reference to every day, or is it only a reference to Rosh Hashanah? So Rav Zevin Zatzal explained that the two options aren't contradictory. Rosh Hashanah is the today, the beginning of each subsequent day, and today of each day is a continuation and renewal of the commitments of the days of Rosh Hashanah. And so therefore it's incumbent upon us, as we approach both of them, to take the opportunity to rise to the occasion. Don't wait until Rosh Hashanah. Make today the first of many Rosh Hashanahs. We're told, uvacharta b'chayim, in the end of the day, God turns around and he makes a promise to us that he's giving us all sorts of options, but we're supposed to choose life. And the Torah values life and will not and will choose it at every circumstance. And this raises a challenge to a strange debate in the Gemara and Erevin as to whether one is better off being alive or not. And how does that fit with the choice of uvacharta b'chayim? So the Ishbitzer Rebbe, the Mea Shiloach, explains that the Gemara is debating what is Noach, what's easier, and not necessarily what's better. Would a person rather an easier life without the challenges, or is he better with life's challenges? And that's what the Gemara is debating over here. Rabbi Jack Ganecker, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Nagin adds that this is the challenge that exists with the Yetzer Hara. It's not one of good and evil, but rather good and convenient. We commit averos not because we're evil, but rather because they are the path of least resistance, and that's something that we need to use in life in order for us to understand how we can change and make changes. Don't look for the easy. Look for the strong. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, Mizeba me'Edom, who is the one who's coming from Edom, chamutz begadim. Rav David Feinstein Zazal noted that Hashem's vengeance against Edom is described as if he was coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's because when Bnei Yisrael are in exile, he is with us. Thematically, this idea pervades the Haftorah, that he's with us, experiencing our travails along with us within the process. As we approach the end of the year, and we find ourselves in so many far-flung places, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the opportunity to realize that we are with him, and he is with us, and we will stand lifnei Hashem. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the ability to do so strongly and proudly, growing mechayel al chayel, until we get to Tzion Birina v'Yushalayim Beis Mikdasho b'simchas olam. Shabbat shalom to all, and k'siva b'chasima tova.